See, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's dark out there, isn't it? Evil, I mean. Out there in the world. I suppose if I gave you all of all a chance to describe the darkness of the world as you see it, you could all probably spend quite some time explaining your perspective of things. You might start with the really big evil, right? The apparently wholesale dismissal by the culture of God's good design for man and woman and his institution of marriage. The ending of some 57 million unborn American lives since 1973. And now the recent news that some are being sold for parts. Maybe some of you would bring in some corrupted politics and all of the darkness that exists there. Others might point to the injustices between strong and weak, the rich and the poor. Some might point to the Christian persecution going on throughout the world, of which we American Christians really know nothing. Some of you might even get more personal. The darkness that you deal with in your families, even within your own spirit. Yes, it's dark out there. The days certainly are evil. But it's one thing to acknowledge the darkness, to expose it, to name the evil that exists around us. It's quite another thing to constantly bemoan the dark and evil days around us. How easy it is to take the suffering Christian perspective, woe is us, what a crazy world we live in, if only we could return to the good old days, if only everyone would just act like good Christian people, so on and so forth. You know, that's easy. And it's frankly quite convenient to always bemoan evil, because frankly, complaining about worldly evil gives me the opportunity to ignore my part in it. It allows me to forget what Paul says earlier in Ephesians, that all of us, according to our sinful nature, well, we're actually part of the problem. Now, that doesn't mean that we should ignore the darkness around us. It doesn't mean that we should shrink back from calling evil exactly what it is. But if all we do is complain about the darkness and evil around us, then we are tempted towards two extremes. On the one hand, we can become quite numb and cynical. Right? We can sort of have the stereotypical, well, to hell with it all anyway, kind of attitude. I'm just going to make the best of things while I can, until Jesus finally saves me from this wicked place, either by my death or his return. From that perspective, all we're looking for is not the redemption and the recreation of this broken place, which includes us and our sin, but no, instead we long for the world's comeuppance, that God would finally act to destroy all of them. However, on the other hand, we can also be tempted towards despair. The idea that maybe things really are just so bad that God has chosen to leave us. After all, he seems quite silent most of the time, and things can seem hopeless. So what's the point? Well, in our text this morning, as we continue reading through Ephesians, Paul actually gives us a third way. Not a way of self-righteous cynicism, nor a way of faithless despair, but rather a way of serving the world by being light in darkness. Now, for whatever reason, from last week to this week, the lectionary skips over verses 3 through 5 and then picks up at verse 6. But I want to read starting at verse 3. Just listen to what Paul says here. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Now, lest you think Paul is allowing some kind of opportunity for us to look down our noses at all of those sinners that he's just named, notice what he says next. He says, don't become partners with them. Why? Because at one time, you were darkness. At one time, you were what they all are. Darkness. Darkness is where thieves slink around while everyone else slumbers unsuspectingly. Darkness is where dishonest business transactions happen that harm people. Darkness is where adulterers find their refuge. Darkness is where liars' faces are hidden. Darkness is where people stumble over themselves and grope around in ignorance and futility, totally unaware of the danger that they are in. Darkness is where sinners thrive. And to become willing and obedient partners with them could actually tempt you away from your very salvation. So Paul says, remember, you were darkness. But not anymore. No, now you are light in the Lord. And of course you are, because you have been put into, you've been dressed up in, you've been covered over by Christ himself, who is the light of the world. Your old self has been crucified with him on the cross, and a new creation has arisen out of your baptismal tomb. And so you walk. You walk as children of light, Paul says. You take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Now, Paul's reminder to the Ephesians and to us that we were at one time darkness should inform us as we hear him encourage us to expose darkness. I think it forces us to read this exhortation, if I could put it this way, from a standpoint of love. So that when he says to expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness, he's not telling us to sort of mount our high horses and ride in like the cavalry to damn all of those wicked sinners out there. After all, remember, you too were what they are. No, instead, exposing the unfruitful deeds of darkness ought always be an act of love, so that sinners would be brought to repentance, so that they would know the forgiveness and the love of Christ. A little later, Paul says that we are to understand what is the will of the Lord, and in his letter to Timothy, he tells us exactly what that is. The Lord desires that all people be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so, I think this is what Paul's getting at in verses 15 and 16. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And most English translations say, making the best use of time because the days are evil. That's an okay translation, but I think it can tempt us to this idea that, you know, the world is headed to hell in a handbasket, so I'm just going to make the best of it, right? That's not what Paul's getting at. When he uses this verb elsewhere, he talks about Christ redeeming us from the curse of the law. So maybe a better translation would be this. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You see, that gets more at the fact that God has put you here at this time and in this place in your vocations to be light to the world. He says this in Ephesians 3. He says that God uses the church to make known to the world his wisdom. See, God hasn't just stuck you here to sit around and complain about all of the wickedness out there. No, he's put you here, he's redeemed you, he's baptized you into Christ with the result that you are light. That in your vocations, you redeem the time, as it were. You make of the time what the world is unable to make of it. You buy it back and show the world what this gift is. You are light in darkness. Consider how we are light corporately in this place. Right here, we strive to uphold and to proclaim not empty words, like Paul says, but the truth in all of its fullness, not just for the sake of being right, but for the sake of bringing comfort to we who contend with the darkness of our sin. And here, there are no surprises. You know exactly what you will receive here in this place. Here, Christ comes to you to forgive you, to strengthen you, to give you peace through his objective and true word. And that gift requires nothing of you. Dear friends, in American Christianity, such places are becoming fewer and fewer. But it's not just here. I mean, you leave this place, right, on a Sunday morning, and you actually spend most of your time away from this place, filling all kinds of vocations out there in the world. Father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, husband, wife, employer, employee, retiree, neighbor, brother, sister. And in all of those places, you are light by simply being who God has made you in Christ, his forgiven and his redeemed child. Now, will there be times when you fail to be light, when you click off the light, if you will? Certainly. Will the darkness continue to press in around you on all sides? Absolutely. Will you even succumb to the darkness sometimes? Yes, you will. But the solution is not to minimize your sin by decrying all of the wickedness out there to take the focus off of yourself. The solution is not to despair as if God can do nothing about your sin. No, when you fail to be light, you return to the light. You confess your sin, you receive absolution, and you go back to being light in the darkness. Such is the rhythm of the Christian life. So I'd like to leave you with these words from 1 Peter chapter 2. Words of encouragement. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.